Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Have the Rex rant coming up later this hour at 7:45. So looking forward to that coming up with Joe Rex Road, which you can hear every week at Monday at 7:45 here on the show. Adam Vingan dropping by at 8 o'clock. The NHL draft taking place over the weekend. NHL free agency begins on Wednesday. How active will the Predators be? We'll get into that with Adam coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here on the show. And then Corey Curtis from News 2 at 9 o'clock for our weekly visit with him. So looking forward, a lot coming your way here on Robbie and Rex Road for the remainder of the show. And Titans training camp about to get underway this week. Players reporting tomorrow for the start of training camp. And then it's football time in Tennessee after that. So looking forward to that coming up with the Tennessee Titans. And Joe Rex Road will be going out later today to receive his testing to start going into Titans training camp. And I know that's certainly not going to be the most exciting thing for you heading into this camp. But other than that, as training camp is about to get underway here for the Tennessee Titans, obviously a lot of buzz around this team, a lot of hype around this team as well. Now the training camp is here. What excites you the most, Joe Rex Road, about this team, about training camp, as we are officially now one day away from players reporting for camp?
Well, I think certainly, and this is probably the case a lot of times, it's seeing some of the new players, newcomers, rookies, free agent signings, seeing them as a full group together, you know, on defense, seeing, you know, Autry and Simmons up front, and we'll see on Farley and Dupree, but those two guys are obviously huge adds. Both of them, by the way, are not going to be active right away, yep, which is not a big surprise. Huge question there about, you know, when. They're, you know, basically past physical and you're active. NFI is non-football injury is Farley. And, of course, non-football injury, you're on that if your injury didn't happen in an NFL game or practice, which, of course, his didn't because he's new to the NFL. And then Dupree's on the PUP list. But Dupree's putting stuff out there,
which is physically unable to perform.
Yes. The pup.
Physical.
Thank you. He put out some stuff that looks like he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Yeah. Looks like Bud Dupree's doing all right.
But, you know, but still, you're talking December, right? Early December?
Yep.
So how much do you want to push that? How much will he be out there? I mean, I'm excited to see Julio Jones and Janoris Jenkins go against each other. A.J. Brown and Janoris Jenkins go against each other, you know. And some Christian Fulton, and see how does he look? How does Darrington Evans look? I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of really interesting storylines for sure. You know, at outside linebacker, the Titans signed John Simon, which is interesting. I don't hate that.
No.
A veteran, been in the league a long time. I could see him. I mean, shoot, I could see him certainly being in the top three early with Dupree still not out there for sure. And then even when the season starts, maybe giving them like a reliable, you know, fourth guy, 3/4, depending on how, you know, Rashad Weaver progresses. So I'm just, you know, just in general, once you get to see these guys actually go ones versus ones, some of the obvious battles that you can see even in one-on-one drills are the corners versus receivers, but even just seeing how Simmons and Autry look together as a tandem. And who else on that D-line? I mean, I did a 53, which we'll talk about at some point, but, you have to do about 17 of them before the camp ends. But, you know,
just keep a running tally of your 53-man rosters.
Yeah. But D-line is interesting because, you know, they're going to have, in most cases, two guys, really, on the field. But Murchison, Laurel Murchison, what does he look like in year two? You got Tier Tart. Naquan Jones is an undrafted guy I think could get in there. But it's interesting. I mean, they've got some questions and some young guys who have to prove themselves there. You got to have depth. And that position I look at and say, how is their depth there? Someone's going to get hurt everywhere.
Absolutely. And speaking of training camp, the Texans have reported the training camp. And Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network just coming out with the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for star quarterback Deshaun Watson. Multiple sources tell me and Ian Rappaport, but the price is high for a player of his caliber, and it should be. It would likely take at least three first-round picks and more. Pelissero also said when he reported to camp Sunday, Deshaun Watson was respectful, but his demeanor reiterated that he doesn't want to be in Houston. The question is, will a team step up with a type of massive offer that would compel the Texans to move him now? Watson also would have to waive his no-trade clause. So some news in the Titans division there. I guess that's the first time that we've heard that the Texans are actually willing to listen on trade offers, but I don't know. Like, do you expect any movement to happen on Deshaun Watson at this point with his legal situation being what it is, and there's really been no news on that front whatsoever in what seems like months at this point?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think if the Texans got an offer they were happy with, yeah, but I would say if I'm the team on the other side, I'm leaning in heavily on what you just said. We don't know what's going on. You know, how much am I giving you for someone who may not play in 2021? You take a year out of his career. They aren't long careers in the first place. And then, you know, just all the questions around Watson because of this scandal. Three first-round picks.
That's a lot. And more. That's what it, three first-round picks and more. What's the and more?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeez.
But three first-round picks alone, I don't know about that.
Now, I saw a lot of people, when he showed up to Texans camp, they were surprised that he was there. I mean, I think they could technically fine him like $50,000 per day
if he wasn't there. He had to show up.
He had to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he showed up.
That doesn't mean that he wants to be the quarterback of the Houston Texans.
We talked about Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Here to not get fined. That's what Deshaun Watson was yesterday. And that's, yeah, you'd think that the NFL would weigh in here. But, you know, on the flip side of the three first-round picks or whatever this massive price is, I mean, if you're a team, you know, look, if you look at the whole situation, I think I feel confident that he's going to return to playing in this league. He's going to get through this based on all the information we have. And then he'll be a top five quarterback in the league again, probably for several years. So if you're a team on the other side of that, I mean, it's got to be appealing. It's interesting. Before all this stuff happened, I think it was going to be a feeding frenzy on trying to outbid each other for him, and now it's different. But you still have to look at the bottom line, which always happens in the NFL. I mean, come on. I mean, there's so many players in this league. I mean, Tyreek Hill, I actually thought might like be out of the league, and
he's not.
No, he's not. So
Antonio Brown just won a Super Bowl,
right? Yeah. So I mean, let's be realistic here about the NFL. So somebody is going to look at that and say, "Well, I could have a potentially all-time great quarterback for many years. What is that worth to me?" That's what the Texans are counting on.
That's what the Texans are counting on. Now, to that point, like, I wonder, you know, if you're him and no trade is facilitated throughout training camp, what do you do if you're Deshaun Watson? Like, are you going to suit up and play for Houston? Is he going to be allowed to play while this is going on? That's the part of this we don't know at this point. But like, if he's allowed to play, is he going to play for Houston if no trade's been facilitated at that point? It doesn't sound like it.
I would think
you're just going to sit there.
I would think so.
It's interesting. Very interesting stuff on Deshaun Watson. We'll continue to keep you updated. I'm sure that is a saga that will be ongoing for the next few weeks with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. But Titans training camp underway tomorrow. I think one of the things I'm most excited to see is Anthony Firkser and the tight end position. I mean, this is something I'm still not convinced is just going away. Maybe you get a couple weeks into camp, and if you're John Robinson and the Titans, you feel like you still need to add at the tight end position. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to view that, but this is the first training camp that Anthony Firkser is going to be the guy coming into training camp. Can he handle the blocking part of this to the degree in which he's going to be asked to block? Can he be a huge weapon for Tannehill in this offense going over the middle? I mean, a lot of people are going to spend a lot of time paying attention to Julio Jones and A.J. Brown this training camp, and deservedly so. I understand why, but I think it's going to be interesting to see Anthony Firkser and how he responds to his new role. That's something to me that still is, when you start to talk about questions that the Titans have heading into training camp, tight end position as a whole, still a pretty huge question mark to me heading into this week.
Big time. I mean, it's Firkser, it's Swaim, and it's some undrafted guys who are trying to make a roster, and a few of them may, but then that's the position I look at and say, I think there's a name that we don't know right now that may be there within a few weeks.
Yeah, could be, and doesn't necessarily, like, I think some people hear that and they say, okay, well, starter. It doesn't necessarily have to be a starter. Like, at this point, I think I'd be surprised if Anthony Firkser is not their number one tight end. Crazier things have happened. Trades can be made. People can be signed. But I at this point, would probably be surprised if Anthony Firkser at least doesn't start the season as their number one guy. That doesn't mean you can't add to some pieces around that. No, it's not going to be Delanie Walker. I'm willing to put that out there.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. I'm going to take that step. Before we start getting texts about it, which we do every time we talk about the tight end position, it's not going to be Delanie Walker.
Will Delanie Walker get any kind of opportunity with anybody?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's going to.
I would guess no, too. Wouldn't be, like, shocked if he did, but it's tough. I mean, again, it's been 4 years. It's been 4 years, you know, really pre-injury since he was what we think of when we think of Delanie Walker.
But just, you know, one more year, maybe all it takes to solidify that Hall of Fame bid.
Yes, that's right. Well, just as, you know, a Super Bowl, or just playing in a big market. If he can just latch on and be on the roster with the Steelers or Cowboys, then that's probably the ticket to the Hall of Fame per Jared.
Probably in at that point. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad has come out with a 53-man roster as well. We'll dissect that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and at thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Titans. Training camp opening up this week for the Tennessee Titans. And some interesting position battles that will be on hand as well. Now, Joe, you've already mentioned one move that the Titans have made. John Simon coming in at outside linebacker. Tazar Skipper on the way out at outside linebacker as well. So one move the Titans have already made in advance of training camp. And you've come out with one of what I'm sure will be very many 53-man rosters that you do. How many 53-man rosters do you think you'll put together in training camp? Over, under 4.5.
Oh, I mean, I hope it's under. I was joking, but I think, with two?
I hope so, for your sake.
I mean, because they cut down, they cut down from 90 to 85. Don't they go to like 85, 80, and then they do the big cut?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to try to make it two. I'm going to try to make it one more.
Well, and it's easier to do them this year because you actually have like preseason games to watch. It's not just training camp practice.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's like there's actual information.
Right.
Especially in the bottom of the roster. That's where we'll get the information because I bet you Mike Vrabel, he's big on not getting key guys injured. By the way, there's your favorite player of all time, Tom Brady, with his little ESPN is asking if that's real or fake.
Yes, the video of Tom Brady throwing the ball into the jug machines that was tweeted out yesterday. I think it's fake.
I mean, it is fake. I thought it was confirmed as fake.
I don't know that it's been confirmed as fake, but it's fake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ESPN is, of course, because it's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
They're making it. You know, they're making it seem like it might be real. But anyway, I am looking forward. Maybe I'll have to do a new 53 after the practice week with the Bucks, because whoever Tom Brady touches,
they're going to make
will
team.
Immediately, yeah. If they get within his presence, within 5 yards of him, the greatness will rub off on them, and someone will surprisingly make the roster because of that. No, I'm hoping for two. I'm hoping this, but right before it cuts.
What was
and
the...
Then there's a 53, then when you get the actual one, which you could maybe do one and analyze that.
Yeah.
So I guess technically that'd be three, but if I'm not on the under on that, it's going to be a long August.
Very long August.
A lot of other things to do.
For Joe Rixo, no question about that. So as you were putting this initial 53-man roster together, pre-Titans training camp, with, again, the players reporting tomorrow for the first day of training camp, what was the most difficult part of this roster, in your opinion, to project? And it doesn't have to be, you know, going through the list of every single specific guy, but the most difficult maybe position group or part of this roster to project, in your opinion, is what? What are some of the most intriguing position battles as the Titans now head into training camp?
I think offensive line is interesting and difficult. Receiver's probably the most difficult because I think, like, I excluded Cam Batson, and I just don't know that that's very smart to do. But it's a very interesting situation now. And I had on, you know, the player who, you know, of course, is now identified with me, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
I was going to ask
getting
that.
Crap from people. but I think he's going to make the team. And I also think Racy McMath is going to make the team. Like, I just really like what I've seen from him in the spring. He's a really intriguing player.
He's got a pretty good combination of size and speed.
Yeah, so during this camp, key for him is every kicking game rep he gets is that he is great. But that's also, I mean, Westbrook-Ikhina, that's a big part of him making the team too. And, you know, again, I mean, I know that I wrote he was going to be a 7-time Pro Bowler in the spring per some of my colleagues. That's a really – Cam Batson is just – I mean, he is a pro's pro, and he's a heck of a story. And he's a little different kind of player, too, now in this receiver room that used to be – like, it's like the Titans receivers and the Preds roster. They're just getting rid of all the small guys, you know?
Yeah.
But Cam Batson gives you a little bit different element. So that was a tough one. I mean, O-line is tough. I think it's pretty clear at a lot of positions – but tight end is interesting, too. I had them keeping more tight ends because it's sort of like quantity versus quality. Like, one of the guys I have making the team that I bet you a lot of people wouldn't right now is Jared Pinkney, former Vanderbilt tight end. And I may be way off on that. I mean, he's got to have a very good camp. He didn't help himself. I can't imagine just by not being there for the
OTAs?
Yeah, for the OTAs. Yep. But at the same time, I look at the scenario and I say, man, I feel like he could be the fifth tight end. And then, of course, as you said before, there may be – I mean, we could see a different player at some point, and then that changes that whole scene. But, like, Briley Moore is a guy who I think is really intriguing to watch this camp. Offensive line, you know, you've got Sombrilo, who is – starting out still hurt, which isn't great for him. You have Quessenberry still there, but you've brought in Kendall Lamb. So I had 9 offensive linemen on my 53, which is a big number.
It is. I'll be honest with you, I was looking at your list, and defensive line comes, and Naquan Jones made me double take. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, wait, Naquan Jones, not Daquan Jones.
Yes.
It really got me
for a second. From Daquan to Naquan. Yeah. I thought you were going to rip on me because he's a Michigan State.
No. Okay. No, it was just the name.
Yeah, Daquan to Naquan.
Hey.
And I don't, you know, I mean, he's got an opportunity, but there's a lot of guys. That's a position that could go a lot of different ways at the bottom of the roster. I mean, I think Tart is a pretty solid guy to count in there. I think the only obvious absolutes that I would say would be that your big two and Murchison, and then there's a lot of guys battling after that. It could go a lot of different ways.
The most intriguing position battle to me, and I'm not kidding, who's going to kick? Who in the world is going to be the kicker for this team?
Yeah.
I mean, that's still a huge question coming in here. And you know, Tucker McCann is there. Blake Hallbill is there as well. I guess we all kind of keep waiting on what's it going to look like for Gostkowski. Like, is he going to be a part of things as the Titans approach training camp here? Like, I would assume if that's going to be the case, going to have to be coming in the next few days, right? You would think. Unless, I guess they could sign him before the first week of the season.
Well, how far into camp did they sign him last year?
Right.
It was
significantly into camp. But, like, also if you're them, like, hasn't he had enough time to make up his mind of whether or not he wants to play at this point? Like, to me, that's what it would be. Like, what he's waiting on is, if you're the Titans, I think with the way he closed out the season, you're probably interested in him, at least to see what he looks like, would be my guess. Now, maybe they're not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that.
But I would guess that they still would be interested in him. And if they are, I mean, the holdup to me would be, does he still want to play? But, I mean, we're 5 days away from August. Like, you might need to have that figured out at this point.
Maybe they're not convinced with him, and there was enough inconsistency last year that it helps the idea, the decision about, you know what, got to find the next kicker. Got to find the next kicker who is going to be good enough to be on this roster long term. But the problem is, I just don't know if either of those two young guys, you don't get to see much. But when we get to see Tucker McCann kick, I don't think he's consistent enough. Blake Hallbill, we'll see. I mean, I think if I had to guess between those two right now, I would guess Hallbill based on what I haven't seen yet from McCann. But obviously they like McCann enough to – I mean, he's here competing again. Again, there's a lot we don't see. But what you do see is a time when he knows everybody sees it, and that's really – right? I mean, there's a lot of really good practice players and various things. And then now the pressure's on. What do you do? And so I think those moments are important. Hallbill is going to have, I think, every opportunity. It's going to be a competition. I could see that going on for a bit of time, and then maybe the Titans saying, yeah, it's not good enough, Gostkowski or someone else. I mean, there's a few other veterans floating around out there. There always are. But I wouldn't – like, I don't think that Gostkowski not deciding right now, yes, he wants to play, is necessarily an indication that it won't happen. You know, I mean, he also may be like, you know what, guys? Yeah, I don't need to be out 93 degrees right now. I'll see you at about – how about August 25th? How's that work for you?
Could be. Maybe that's something that happens. We'll have to keep an eye on the kicking as it progresses throughout training camp for the Titans. We'll continue to talk about the Titans and some position battles when we come back. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is the most intriguing position battle to you? What's the biggest question mark for the Titans heading into training camp? We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Blue Raider Blitz is rolling across the mid-state to a town near you, led by Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders football head coach Rick Stockstill. This community-wide event will be guaranteed fun for the whole family. Each of the stops will include food, ticket giveaways, and a chance to mix and mingle with MTSU coaching staffs and Lightning as well. For more information on where you can attend, head to goblueraiders.com/tour. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, discussing the Tennessee Titans training camp opening up this week for the Tennessee Titans. And Joe Rexrode at theathletic.com has put together a Titans 53-man roster projection as training camp now set to open for the Titans coming up here tomorrow. And We've gone through a few of the position battles. One position battle, very interesting to me as well, that the Titans are probably hoping is not important whatsoever this year, but could ultimately end up being very important, is backup quarterback. Who is going to be the backup quarterback with Ryan Tannehill? DeShone Kizer and Logan Woodside are going to be in battle in training camp, and it's interesting. Like, Logan Woodside to me, and we've talked about this here on the show, Joe, he feels like a guy that every year, every position battle, every chance that comes up, everybody wants to replace Logan Woodside. It's like, all right, you got Logan Woodside in here. Who can you bring in that's better than Logan Woodside? Now, we've not seen Logan Woodside play in an actual game, so we don't really know exactly what's there. You've been around him at practice. You've seen him at practice, and you've talked about the improvement that he's displayed over the last couple of years. There's been some improvement, and it's been pretty good at times from Logan Woodside at practice. What do you think of this backup quarterback battle? Teron Davenport came on like 3 months ago and predicted that it was going to be DeShone Kizer, and he was going to be the guy that ends up getting the starting or the backup job to Ryan Tannehill. I think this is going to be really interesting. I think Kizer has got more upside than Logan Woodside does, but Woodside knows the playbook. He's been in this system, and obviously he has done some things that this coaching staff really likes, and that's how he's been able to hang around to this point. I'm fascinated to see who ends up winning the backup quarterback position. And as I said, if you're the Titans, you're hoping it's not really all that important, but it could end up being very important to the Titans as to how the story of this year ultimately plays out.
Yeah, I would make the same prediction, but I don't think there's much of a gap at all. I think it's going to be very close. It's going to be a great battle. Again, it's just one of those things where it's a battle between two players who people really hope they don't see it all this year, you know, because there's just a big gap between Tannehill and both of them. I look at Kizer and I just see a little bit higher ceiling, and I know Logan Woodside is maybe he's a little bit like Cam Batson. People want to count him out. He keeps coming back. That's going to be very interesting. I mean, look, when Trevor Siemian signed last year, I know that I was probably on that train of, okay, well, then Trevor Siemian's your two. Well, he wasn't as good as Woodside. Maybe that was a little bit more about Siemian not being good than anything else, but Woodside has been able to hang in there. That's going to be really interesting. And obviously, if you're the Titans, you hope that presence of a real competition elevates both of them, because you need improvement there in the event of losing Tannehill for a couple weeks or something, where you need to try to figure a way to cobble together a win.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something you've had to deal with since Tannehill's been the starting quarterback. He's been very healthy. He's been very durable. He's taken every meaningful snap that you've needed him to take since he took over as quarterback for the Titans. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, but that's paramount this year. He's got to remain healthy, because whether it's DeShone Kizer or Logan Woodside, long-term with those two guys at quarterback, it's not going to end well. So that's going to be obviously really important. I do wonder, though, like, if you get into a situation where it's going to be two games, like Tannehill's going to miss two games, is the upside of Kizer at that point maybe a little bit more tempting to go with? I do think he's got a bigger arm. I mean, he's got a huge arm. I don't know that means everything at the end of the day, but I think in terms of the vertical passing game, probably a little bit more potential there with Kizer than there would be from Woodside.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, do you want like a playmaker or just the safer game manager who, you know, hands off a lot and makes the simple play? I mean, I agree. I mean, I think Kizer has more potential to be an explosive player in the NFL, but that doesn't always win the day. You know, you got to feel comfortable that it in this situation, in this scenario, you don't want to happen, that someone can come in and be fully in command and manage a game for you.
I got a texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, going back to the kicker position, says, Titans just need to have open tryouts at the next Nashville SC practice for the kicker spot. Just bring in a soccer player.
It works out. Soccer players can do the job.
Again,
worth a look. Of course, their season goes well into November. Yeah. So,
and you already let Sam Sloman get away, which, still, Titans legend. You just let him walk out the door.
Number two.
Ends up with the Rams.
The real number two.
That's right. Get out of here, Julio. Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, since the new offensive coordinator was Firkser's position coach, did Downing convince the Titans that he will do the job? I will say that he did. I would say the Todd Downing may. Maybe Todd Downing's a big fan of Anthony Firkser, and that's why the Titans have not yet made a move at tight end.
Well, Todd Downing, he said it at some point during spring interviews, like people are sleeping on him as a blocker. So, and I can't sit here and say, well, Todd, having broken down every single rep that Firkser took last year, you're wrong. He was only effective on 37.3% of those snaps. This is a Pro Football Focus fake stat I'm throwing out right now. I mean, I think it's just like the
it really clarified.
Yeah, it really is the assumption that comes with Firkser's size or perceived size, although he's the same size as Jonnu Smith according to the measurements on the roster. So I have no idea. But yeah, I think that's a good point. Downing clearly must like it. Now, we don't know. You know, the problem with stuff like this is I think that they were probably going to take a tight end once or twice in the draft. It didn't work out, you know, and we still don't know what's going to possibly come here in the next few weeks. But to get even to this point with the tight end roster the way it is, I think that's certainly a vote of confidence for Firkser as an all-around player.
I think so, too. And now it's on him to continue to prove that he can play at that level. I mean, look, TD talked the other day about Briley Moore. I think there's a lot of intrigue there as well. Problem is, like, you get down to the bottom of that room, and it's between Briley Moore and Miller Forrestall coming in from Alabama and Jared Pinkney as well, which you pointed out. Like, that's a whole lot of youth at the bottom of that room. And you're talking about at least two guys that are going to have to play there that are very young with zero NFL experience. Do you want that if you're the Titans? I'm still coming back to say probably not. Probably a better option would be grabbing a veteran on the open market.
Yeah, and like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, like trying to figure out a way to get Zach Ertz in here.
Right.
It's just someone who's, yeah, been in the league a little bit, has some skins on the wall, so to speak. That seems like it would be a worthwhile pursuit, and one that I would not at all be surprised. I think I'd be more surprised if there's not some kind of ad there than if there isn't.
Going back to the offensive line, you know, they brought in Kendall Lamb. Obviously, Dennis Kelly, as far as I know, still has yet to find a spot in the NFL, which is surprising to me. I think he'll end up somewhere as training camp goes on here. But Kendall Lamb coming in from the Browns in free agency for the Titans. I would assume that he's the starting right tackle at the moment.
Right now, yes.
I do wonder how quickly, if Dylan Raiduns has a good camp, are they willing immediately to throw him into the fire as the starting right tackle? Do you want to bring him along a little bit slower and make sure that he's ready to go? I'm interested to see how they handle right tackle because, I mean, we talk about Lamb and we talk about Raiduns a lot too, and Raiduns obviously is going to be the long-term plan when you draft somebody in the second round. But, I mean, you do still have some Brilo there, which I know he's not able to practice at the moment, but gave you some good snaps last year. I mean, I think there's Quisenberry in the mix as well. I mean, there's a lot of options you've got at tackle, at offensive line.
Yeah, right now, I think it would be great for the Titans if Raiduns has such a good camp that he supplants Lamb before the season. Like right now, if I had to predict, I would predict Kendall Lamb starting at right tackle in the opener. But certainly, you hope it's close if you're the Titans. And you spent a second-round pick on him a year after Isaiah Wilson. By the way, I went back and read my 53 from post-camp, and it was like one disappointment is Isaiah Wilson hasn't quite been able to, you know, to push for the starting job. But,
yeah, that didn't change much. You know,
but still a lot of season to go. We'll see what happens there.
We saw.
But I think Lamb's – Lamb's definitely the one right now, which is no surprise. Veteran comes in. He's got his opportunity. But, again, you spend that second-round pick on Raiduns. I mean, I think you're saying, you know, we expect him to come right in and really push for that. So, I don't think if Raiduns is not the starter in the opening week that it's a disappointment. But if there's a clear gap between those two guys throughout camp, I would say that's a bit disappointing.
I would say so, too. By the way, this coming out from Adam Schefter right now from ESPN. Packers president Mark Murphy and GM Brian Gutekunst are scheduled to address the annual meeting of shareholders today at 11 o'clock local time in Green Bay, which is
put it on ESPN.
Which is, I mean, they don't have any owners, so it's just an annual meeting of shareholders that they have. I'm sure there'll be some things to talk about today.
How many people is that? Do you know?
I don't know.
I mean, angry mob. Let's go. Scream at these people. Scream at them.
Now, not only is it Aaron Rodgers, apparently they have upset Devontae Adams as well. And negotiations for a long-term contract have just, that's it. It's done.
How much of that is related to Rodgers, do you think, if any?
I think a significant amount.
I mean, if you're him, it's like, well, if you're bouncing him, then
why would I sign here?
Right.
It's not like the weather is really something going for you in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I'm here for the Packers just completely melting down. This is great.
Well, I'm glad you are. Good time for you.
Well, that's the thing. Like I said, you get rid of your Lions' love, but you don't stop hating the Packers and Bears.
Appreciate that. It's been a great time to be a Packers fan lately.
Hey, it's been a good run, man.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant, which we do every week on Monday at 7:45. Joe Rexroad's got his rant coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. A little wagon wheel bringing us back in from Darius Rucker. That song just puts me in a good mood, Joe Rex Road. What about you?
I like that better than Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, really?
So there you go.
I would not have expected that.
I could never tolerate any Hootie and the Blowfish.
Really?
But Darius Rucker's a good singer. I actually like him as a country singer. See? Yeah. So now I'm in a good mood. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
That's right. It is time for the Rex Rant. We do this every Monday at 7:45. Joe Rexroad, his rant of the week. Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
All right, this one's quick. I actually need seriously help from both of you. Why the hell is it so hard to not lose chargers and earbuds? Now, maybe this is just my house.
Is this a fatherhood thing?
Well, yeah, but it's a whole house thing. Okay, so at Christmas, my wife kind of tried to make a solution here. So everyone got new ones. Earbuds? Chargers. Put your name on it. Different color ink.
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. Just take care of your world. All you got to do, okay? So I've had my chargers and earbuds stolen about 27 times since then.
I'm sure you have.
Okay. And I'm not, that's an exaggeration, but like, I put them in my bag. I put them in maybe little deeper pockets in my bag. No. Gone. Taken. right now in our house, like, there's like one charger that we swap around, and then like all the earbuds have been chewed by the dogs. Okay. I found earbuds recently in my wife's car, and I hid them in a place I'm not going to say in case anybody's listening, but that's where it's gotten. So now my kids are getting AirBuds?
The AirPods?
Yeah. AirPods. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I called them AirBuds.
That's a movie in the 90s.
That's a movie.
Basketball dog movie. Yeah. AirPods. You know, stupid. Look, AirPods. Are you kidding me? You know how easy it is to lose those
things? Oh, yeah.
And a pair has already been lost, and it got found. Adam Bing is in the studio right now just shaking his head at me. I mean, are you? It's out of hand, man. And the only thing I can say is, don't lose your AirPods. Don't lose anything else. And I need you guys to tell me what to do. I don't know what to do here.
Well, the AirPods thing. I mean, those are, if you're having trouble losing the wired headphones, which are attached that you can like hang around your body and keep them on your neck. Like, I still have the cord headphones. Yeah. I have not gone to the AirPods yet.
Why would anyone go to the AirPods?
It's a new, no, you go to the AirPods.
It's great, like when you're running, it's pretty cool to just not have, you know, the cords. My wife's got a pair of AirPods, and they're pretty cool to run in. I'll say that. But, you know, in general, if you're losing the headphones with the cord on them, you think that's going to be any better with ones that don't have cords that are just in your ear that you put down and put in these cases? I think you maybe have a creek on that one.
Why is jogging without cords? What's the difference?
You get all tangled.
I'm not going to lie and say tangled. I jog a lot, but
you can sometimes when I'm running, like my arm will come through and it'll hit the cords and it rips the phone off and rips the headphones out, and it makes me want to like punch a stop sign, so I don't do that. So I could probably use some AirPods, but I've had the same pair of headphones for 3 years.
That sounds amazing.
So I've not lost them.
Yeah, good for you. See? How hard is it?
It's not very difficult.
You keep them in one place.
No, it's hard. And you were explaining your story of your family, and if my parents are listening, they're going to shake their heads because I'm the Charger Stealer.
Oh.
Uh-huh. You need one, and you grab it, and yeah.
But how do you lose it, you know? That's my question.
Right, like it should either be in a plug or, I guess, in your traveling bag. Like those are the only two places my charger ends up, is in the plug or in the bag. There's only two places.
I always lose mine. Always. I don't know. I have got
like
10.
Leave it at random places.
Leave it at places, steal people's in the families. When I go home, like it's an issue in our household as well.
And but you're the offender.
Well, it's all of us. It's all four kids. Yeah.
Well, there's one kid in particular, I won't name any names, who is a particular offender, okay?
I have a guess, but I'm not going to guess.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
But again, I'm trying to but again, not alone. Not the only one. Not the only issue. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, it was a great idea by Katie. Everyone, here you go. We're starting new. Different colored ink with your name. I mean, it was like 2 weeks later. But the AirPods, so AirBuds.
Yes, the AirBuds.
I think a big appeal of those is that these kids think they're cool. Kids just think they look cool.
Yeah.
Like it's a status. Ooh, I have AirPods. They look stupid to me. And plus, do they really stay in?
Yeah.
They stay in well?
Yeah.
In any shape of ear?
I mean, in my experience, the AirPods stay in.
If I had AirPods, this is why I never get nice sunglasses, because there's something that, I mean, I lose them all the time.
Right.
I will always have $9.99 sunglasses because of that. I go to Walmart just to get sunglasses.
Right.
I would never even consider AirPods. It's your toast.
People just don't like to talk to people nowadays, too. Like the young generation, they're texting and everything like that. AirPods, they're just like, oh, I'm cool. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can't hear you. You know?
That's a good point. If you have them in. Not that if you had earbuds in, it's still. But like the AirPods is like a little bit more of a statement. Like, yeah, man, I'm doing something really important here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texting in. If you have your AirPods synced up to your phone, you can find them on your Find Me app on your iPhone.
Oh, I'm aware. Because believe me, when the AirPods were lost initially, this should have been easy because of that, and it took forever and whatever. I don't need to get into it. But yes, I mean, I like that. I like the fact that you can find them with the – but I still – mine will go down in a sewer.
Craig texting in says, preach it, Chargers especially. Gentry Estes, our good friend from the Tennessee, and on Twitter says, preach, Joe Rexroad, cell phones, chargers, and earbuds.
I think cell I said earbuds. Phones, too.
No, cell phone chargers. I said that the wrong way. Sorry.
Like, man.
If you're losing cell phones that frequently, you got, I think, a bigger issue at hand. I can't say that I've ever lost – I don't think I've ever lost a pair of headphones. Now, I've had headphones – that have like worn out over time, and the audio quality was not as good. So like, I mean, I've had some iPhone headphones that I could hear out of one side, and at that point, I'm like, okay, well, it's time to get some new headphones.
I mean, we have that problem around here. Right.
I think we do.
The one but, side issue,
exactly. But like, I've never lost a pair of headphones. I just don't understand, unless you're like running along and they just fall out of your pocket or something. But
right, how
leaving them behind? I don't get that.
Just, again, keep them, yeah. There's a cord. The cord should help. Keep them in the same place. I mean, when I had a Walkman in the 80s, I did not lose my Walkman headphones.
Yeah.
I cherish them. I valued them.
I've had my...
Look at Michelle's look on her face like, what the hell?
What's a Walkman?
I've never heard of that.
You never heard of a Walkman?
Oh, right. That's amazing. That makes me so happy that she's never heard of that.
You got a Google Walkman. Are you a millennial? Are you the next gen?
I'm a millennial.
She's right on the edge.
I'm right on the edge of that. I'm Gen Z, 97.
Okay, then you are the young millennial.
Yeah.
You are the youngest, I think millennial.
Like the youngest possible millennial.
98
maybe.
Goes about 98, 99-ish. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know what I'm saying? So now you can also complain with us about this younger generation.
Yeah, I just made it, guys, right there.
This Google Walkman, though, it's a magical thing.
It makes me so happy. Walkmans.
Ryan Port just texted us, said, AirPods are the bomb.com.
The bomb.
Yeah, I mean, you look cool, walk around with the AirPods. Then they fall. I just can't believe that they stay in your ear that way.
Now, I'll say this. I've had my charger stolen from me many times, and not intentionally, but like, hey, can I borrow your charger? And then it's never returned.
Sure.
That drives me nuts. A former Nashville Predator that will not be named did that to me one time at an establishment here in Nashville as well. Just, hey, can I borrow your phone charger, Robbie? Sure.
Victor Arvidsson?
It was not Victor Arvidsson. It was a Victor.
Ryan Ellis?
No.
It was a Victor.
Yeah. A little bit before your time.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I've already said it. It's Victor Bartley.
It was. You got called out, yeah, man. Sorry. No, that happens, and that is annoying.
He showed up to practice like 2 days later. He's like, hey, bud, I have your phone charger. I was like, yeah.
So you got it back?
Yeah.
I got it back. That's fine.
Yeah.
Again, to me, it's the sneaking around. I go to so many times in the last couple of years. I'll go to work. I know where I put my charger. I know where I put my earbuds. I need them. I need to do a phone call with an interview. I need to plug in my earbuds. They're gone. I mean,
there's nothing
you're
can
messing
do.
With my livelihood.
Bring back the earbuds, for God's sake. We really need to get you some AirPods now. I think you would really like them.
I think they look dumb. What's this? Well, I got like the, you know, they, yeah, I don't like them. No, I don't trust myself with those.
Okay.
Even though I understand you can
they
do
come in a
the
case.
Sync up thing.
All you got to do is take them out of the ear, put them
oh,
in a case.
Oh, I know. I see the little case being charged by the one charger that's left in my home.
Oh, tough times.
But also, Apple changes the chargers all the times.
That's true.
Yeah.
So then that's annoying, too.
That is true.
Yeah, so my wife's phone, she has like the charger where you just put it on top of the phone. Yeah. Or you put the phone on top of it, right? But then I can't use that one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still have an iPhone, what is this, like 7 or something? It's got the
yours button. Is probably a 7, yes.
Right? I never want to change.
Let's quickly roll through the text line. April in Portland texting in. Yes, Joe, they look stupid, and I make my kiddos take them out during class unless they're finished with their work.
Good for you.
Sonny texting in. My solution is that I just have a charger for every situation that I need one. I've got one in the living room, the bedroom, work, etc. So that's what you need to do is just buy
a whole
about
bunch.
17 chargers, yeah, and have them stationed everywhere you go.
And in 6 months, it will be there'll be 3 left.
Blake texting in, I like the fact that with AirPods, you aren't tethered to your device. You can get up and move around without the phone, especially on a call. That's coming from Blake. So likes the mobility, the freedom that AirPods provide.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, you can have headphones, wireless headphones, too. Okay. Which I do. I have a pair of wireless headphones. That Katie bought me those, too.
Nate saying, don't get the off-brand. They don't stay in your ears.
Off-brand AirPods?
Yeah.
Are those the AirBuds?
Are those the AirBuds? If they're not, they need to be. That was amazing.
There should be generic AirPods called AirBuds, right?
That's right. That is today's edition of the Rex Rant. You can check it out every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll be joined in studio by the great Adam Venkin coming up next. Lots to get into with the Nashville Predators free agency just a couple of days away. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.